responsibility is so good. It feels so natural.
What's something you've written and you've just gone, I can't know?
You can look at it and kind of try and learn from the things you've been through.
You write songs, right?
I've read that a few times too. I know, we've sold that many records.
This week on The Best Bits, punk legend Iggy Pop joined me to talk about revealing just a little too much about himself to Josh Homme, who he collaborated with on his latest album, and Swedish singer-songwriter Jose Gonzalez mused on what he does on and off tour. First up, alt-country super duo Gillian Welsh and Dave Rawlings. They popped in right in the middle of their first Australian tour in 11 years, and by their own admission, they don't want to leave the country. And after seeing their show this week, I'm pretty happy for them to stick around forever as well.
I made a friend or two along the way. You want the details, but what can I say? There's the ballerina, the foreign cartel, the opera singer, Southern Belle. They've all got something strange and new. They've all got something, but not like you. Oh, 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 oh.
And Gillian Welsh, and they are in the Double J studios with me right now. Welcome.
Hi.
It's good to be here. So nice to see you. You're so nice and smiley and friendly. Every interview I've seen
you. And we smell good.
We do not smell good.
Even though you've been on the road now.
Don't come near us.
Driving around Australia. You're not flying around.
No,
you're driving around Australia. So you've been living in a car, basically, for about 2 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah. Cars and hotels and theaters.
Yeah.
In pretty equal parts.
And this was your choice, though, wasn't it?
Absolutely.
This is what you wanted to do. And you started in Perth, and we were just talking off air about the Nullarbor Plain. You did. Yeah. That's a journey most Australians haven't done.
It's beautiful. It's really lovely.
It was a remarkable trip. And, you know, I have such a better sense of the country now, which is what we had talked about. You know, when we first came down in 2004 and we came into Brisbane and we drove down to Melbourne and sort of got a sense of the East Coast. But as soon as we were gone and we were talking about it, we kind of had a little bit hatched the idea of next time let's go into Perth and go all the way around. And then a couple of years after that, we decided
after we put out the first Machine record, we thought, well, what if we tour it one way
and then tour
as Gillian Welch and then turn around and tour it back as the Dave Rawlings Machine?
I mean, partially because we love Australia and partially because I hate to fly.
That's it.
Yeah.
Revealed. No, that's fair enough. But now that you've done the trip from Perth all the way through to Sydney, you've still got to get to Brisbane. Are you kind of dreading the way back?
No, not at all.
No. Do you take a different route?
We will, because we're going to go down and do some shows in, you know, Bangalore near Byron Bay.
Beautiful.
And then that'll be a little bit of a detour. And then Canberra will also be a little bit different.
Yeah.
So we'll get to hit some new spots.
A few different cities. A few cities only get, you know, what we call the duet.
Yeah.
Gillian Welsh. And a few cities only get the Dave Rawlings Machine. So, I don't know, maybe people will travel to some of the other shows to see them, you know, I don't know.
I reckon they will. I think given the, you know, the reputation of your shows, it's kind of crazy. People are, it's like they've taken on, especially, you know, when you came out, was it 2004 you said?
I think it was,
It's like the shows have taken on mythical proportions. And was that a lot to live up to, having left it
sure,
that long?
Yeah.
Oh, God, they all think it was like the most magical thing. How do we make it more magical?
Yeah, there's definitely some of that.
Yeah.
You know, I kind of started thinking about it, I guess, right as we hit, just as we hit the ground here, actually in Auckland when we first flew into New Zealand, I was like, well, what did we even look like back then? I'm like, was I wearing a hat? Was my hair long? You know, what dress was, you know, I couldn't really call it up.
What did we look like?
Yeah.
Yeah. And
you look good, by the way, both of you.
Oh,
you haven't changed today.
Oh, come on.
Oh, come on.
No, it's great. It's you know, it would be quite frightening, I would imagine, though, to think that you have to live up to those expectations. But you have. People are raving about the shows.
Oh, that's great.
Are you getting that feeling from the
audience?
Yeah,
there's a lot of love. It, you know, it makes us feel good. Yeah. People seem excited.
Yeah, you didn't seem to want to leave last night. We thought the show was over, and then it just wasn't.
No.
What, they just stay?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's frightening. You know, you realize, you know, that the mob is actually in charge.
Yeah.
You know, we're just two, and they're 2,000, and there's only so much you can do.
Yeah, yeah, it's a lock-in situation.
It's really funny, actually. It brings to mind a show we did a long time ago in Galway, and we were in Ireland, and we played at a place called the Rossin Dub. I think that means the black-haired girl.
Yeah,
or the dark sister.
Oh, is that what
like
it is? Yeah. It was one of our first times there, and it's a beautiful little pub. They still do shows there. And
old place.
And you get up on this little stage, and then sort of the audience sort of closes in around it, and there's actually no way off. And we got done with our set, and we started to look around to leave, and all of these sort of burly Irishmen crossed their arms and shook their heads.
They sort of closed ranks around us, and they literally wouldn't let us off the stage. So there was no on again, off again, wait for them to clap. No, we just stood there, and they clapped, and then
we played another song, and then they did it again. And after about four or five songs, we said, okay, this is really the end.
We've run out of songs. That's magnificent.
It's funny.
Some people might be a bit confused if they're not familiar. What, like, the difference between what you do with Dave Rawlings Machine and what you do as Gillian Welsh? Can you explain that for the audience?
Yeah. I mean, it's both a...
Because they're both together. You're still together performing.
Yeah. I mean, we write all the songs together, and we sing all the songs together for both bands. The difference is... You know, I'm the lead singer in the duet, and Dave's the lead singer in the machine.
Yeah, that's really the only...
That's
I mean,
the
other
fundamental
than the fact,
difference.
Yeah, and then with the different styles we have singing and what seems to suit the material we come up with, it ends up having been... It's a little more common on the Gillian Welch records for it to be a little more pared down. Like, we do a lot of songs just as a duet, or sometimes... you know, we have done a few band tracks, but the machine seems to have focused more around like kind of a little bit of a string band sound. And also we've ended up with strings on a couple of the records.
Gorgeous.
And it's, you know, it's literally just where the music has taken us has evolved with the only real, I mean, the starting point is either I'm singing or Gil singing.
Yeah.
And it was always funny when we were writing the songs and we hadn't put out any machine records because, of course, as we were working on the songs, we're both singing them, you know, sometimes.
We both sing them.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Then you work out where they should go.
Right, but originally we just, you know, because it was obviously such a pleasure to do what we were doing, we just in 2009 decided that we thought if I was ever going to make a record, I ought to get on it.
Do it. And I will get around to playing a Gillian song. I'm not leaving you out, Gillian. That's right.
She's seething. Don't you see it?
So not a competition.
It's so not, but we worked out what the differences were. You added an extra show in Melbourne because you're gluttons for punishment. Now, what does this show entail?
Well,
we didn't want to go home.
We didn't want to go home. You know, we thought, do we want to get on a plane or do we want to play another show?
That's the way that it ends. Though there was a time when she and I were friends. Miranda ran away, took a cat and left L.A. That's the way that it goes, that's the way. She was busted, broken, flat, and had to sell that pussy cat. That's the way that it goes, that's the way. That's the way that it goes. Everybody's buying little baby clothes. That's the way that it ends. Though there was a time.
The best new music on Double J.
Smooth, laid-back soul on The Light from London via Brisbane singer Jordan Rakai. Today, if only for one moment, and Ben Harper's making his first album with the Innocent Criminals in 9 years. Here's a taste, Pink Balloon.
See the full list of new music at doublej.net.au.
Miff's Best Bits on Double J.
I'm pretty excited because it's time to talk to this fella. Yes, I'm to talk to, and I love to look at you. The unmistakable voice of Mr. Iggy Pop there. That's right. He's got a new album coming out in March. He's worked on it with Josh Homme from Queens of the Stone Age. They've written songs together. They've spent some time in the desert together. They did it in secret. So no one knew until it was kind of ready to go, which was pretty special, I think, for the both of them as an experience. The album's called Post-Pop Depression. And I had a chat to him on Saturday night. I don't often come into work on Saturday night at midnight to do work because, you know, I'm too old. I'll just say no to that stuff. I'm joking. Iggy Pop is worth it, though. And I really wanted to get behind why he chose to work with Josh Homme. And we talked about all of that, and he explained in particular why he chose Josh. And you'll find out as well, it's pretty funny, the lengths that he went to in order to show him who he really was and make that songwriting process really great.
I get a lot of offers from really good production people to produce me. But here was a guy, this is a serious boots-on-the-ground musician. He knows the road like I do, but he can also play at a very intelligent level, and he's got a real fine sense of melody and timing. So checked him out, and I noted that he would play my stuff when he was doing guest DJ stuff. So I reached out to him, but just sort of said, hey, I thought maybe you and I could write something and record it. Left it at that, really, and we sort of started the ball rolling without really defining too much about it.
Yeah, and he took a while to respond, though, didn't he?
I texted him. He responded very, very quickly to the initial text. Overnight, we had a couple more exchanges just to get the basic information across, and then we had a phone call. There was a lot of energy went back and forth in that phone call. We'd met before.
Yeah.
But we didn't know each other well. And I picked on the phone and I thought, okay, I've got to do something now. That was what I thought. I've got to come up with something now because I'm saying to this guy, I'll come to you. You can write the music. You can pick who plays. You can play the instruments. What the hell am I going to bring to this? So, yeah, I have a little writing house here, and I started writing, putting together a kind of dossier of poetry, essays, and information about who I was when I did the things that people like, and who I am now, and how that all works. And it was meant to be kind of a mixture of formative, but also meant to be entertaining. I sent him that. It had a lot of very personal stuff in it. And then I did it here for 3 months.
Oh, no. So, you put your heart on the line,
horrible,
and he ignored you.
Exactly. I laid
what
it all up on the line, and I thought, okay, I get it. I grossed him out. Yeah, it was real bad, you know. So I thought, well, you're a big boy. You've been around now. Just don't worry about that. Carry on with your life. And then he got back to me.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm ready to go.
Best Bits on Double J.
Gaz has sent a message saying, You get all the best musical guests. I'm so jealous. And Gaz, you are correct because Jose Gonzalez is in the studio with me right now. Hello.
Hello. Hello.
Welcome. Welcome. I haven't spoken.
Yeah, thanks. Good to be here.
Yeah, I haven't spoken to you for years, Jose.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Now, I have a producer in my studio booth. She's just left. She doesn't know I'm talking about her right now, but she was at your gig at the Sydney Opera House and was in tears at your gig, so moved by your music, which is beautiful. Is that a common occurrence?
Yeah, it happens. They get very sad and cry, wishing I played something better.
No,
I get the comment many times, and of course it doesn't happen to everyone. But yeah, some people react to the music strictly, and some sort of get memories surfing up with my music. So,
do you have particular artists that you might feel the same way about? Like if you were to hear them or see them, or you know, you would be moved regardless of, you know, where you are. Is there someone who has that effect on you? I'm always interested in artists who move other people, what they are moved by themselves.
Yeah, I think Nina Simone has that effect on me, depending on the song. But yeah, it's definitely something that I've thought about many times while listening to others and yeah, some styles of music, some chord progressions sort of bring out this either nostalgia or sentimentality or just like this therapeutic sadness. But yeah, I guess, Nina Simone or I used to have one song by, I can't remember the name of the band, but it was the last song on the album. And I remember being a teenager and listening to the album and suddenly started crying and felt a bit awkward and hoped that no one saw me so they didn't punch me.
It's funny though, you get more used to crying as you get older, I think. I'm quite happy to cry anywhere these days.
Yeah, it's can be a really sort of relieving thing.
It certainly can. Now, that beautiful song, Leaf Off the Cave, comes with an excellent film clip that you can have a look at if you just get online. It's gorgeous. And it's done in what is called a godless congregation. Their motto, which I loved, is live better, help often, and wonder more. Tell me about the clip and why you thought that would suit this song, Leave Off the Cave.
Yeah, it was kind of fun. I mean, me and the director, Mikael Sia Karlsson, who's done many videos with me before, we're talking about the album and the theme. And I, while talking about what we could do for the videos, I just remembered reading an article about Sandra Sudden-Jones, who started this congregation with Pippa Evans. And they're both like former comedians. And they just felt like, why do the churches get to have all that fun on Sundays and sing and hang out and
be nice
to each other?
Why do those of us who are godless, why do we get to not kind of hang out and celebrate and enjoy each other's company and get a sense of community? I've been interested to know what you've been up to of late. And you mentioned just off air that you are heading to New York to team up with Y Music. And we know Y Music from their collaborations with Anthony and the Johnsons, and also Ben Folds. What's going on there?
Yeah, I did one show with them and they did arrangements. I let them pick out the songs and turned out really well. So now we're going to do a 3-week tour in the States. Going back to sort of my classical roots and enjoying these theaters and sitting down instead of standing up, as I'd been doing on these tours.
Yeah. So explain what Y Music do, though. They do...
Oh, yeah, yeah. So they're a 6-piece ensemble, some strings, some woodwinds, horns. And they're like the sort of indie ensemble, the go-to hipster indie... Super talented. They work with lots of people. They're tasteful. Yeah,
that's great. So you've got a busy time in front of you. But what have you been doing in Australia? Because you had a fair few dates in between where you didn't have to work. What have you done?
Yeah, I've been walking, running, eating, sleeping. This morning I woke up at 4, so I went out running. I saw what's it called, a water dragon or something. Yeah, a sort of lizard. I got super scared. But
you saw a lizard, a big lizard.
Yeah. Almost stepped on it. We're 9 people on tour, and it's really great to just hang out and go out to eat and stuff.
Yeah, some people call it hard work.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really, really hard.
Why can't you take the leaf out your mouth now that you have the facts on your side? Take a moment to reflect who we are. Let reason guide you. See all tracks lead you up.
Catch up with Miff Warhurst for lunch. Weekdays from 11 on Double J.